Is it easy, brothers and sisters? It's not easy. But are there blessings in walking the straight and narrow way? There are blessings. Look at Peter. He says, God, I want to dedicate this time to you. And God has opened up the doors for him to go to an island to teach many people about the love of God. If I look at my life, and if you look at your life, the opportunities that have been opened to you because you've chosen to walk the straight and narrow way. Blessings received. When Jesus was talking to the crowd, I want to think he was talking to people like you and me. People who struggle. People who have burdens. People who have to make important decisions every day that not only affect us personally, but affect those around us. And Jesus was encouraging these listeners to practice the golden rule, to do unto others as they wanted others to do unto them. To follow the word of God that leads to what? Leads to life, leads to salvation, leads to hope, leads to happiness. And not only when we go to heaven, but it can lead to that here on planet Earth. Because you see, the principles of Scripture are not only applied here, but they are applied also in heaven. And when people would hear a narrow gate, automatically they would think of a city on a hill, a city on a tell that had a winding little road that led to it. And many of them being experienced travelers. You see, in those days, people traveled by foot. And those who had a little more traveled on a donkey, on a horse, on some type of animal transportation. They made these long journeys, and they made sure they would get home, or they would get to their destination. They would get through that straight and narrow gate before the sun went down. Because they knew the moment that the sun went down, the door was closed. And they would have to wait outside. They did not let anything distract them. They were on a mission. They had to get there. Not like myself. I just got back Thursday night from our mission trip in Arizona. I was there Sunday through Thursday. On Thursday, I took a little detour. Somebody was riding with me, helping me drive. And I said, you know, I've never been to Zion National Park. I didn't know how beautiful that was. A narrow road going through a park. Is it 17 miles long or 11 miles long? Something like that. Not too long. But I wanted to stop in every corner to take a picture. And by the time I got home, it was almost midnight. And I left like around 9 a.m. So beautiful. But Jesus invites us to take that straight and narrow road and not get distracted with the things of this world. As tempting as they might seem, as desirable as they might seem, what the world has to offer is very little in comparison to what God has to give. Very little. Very little. Is it easy? It's not. Every act of obedience to Christ, every act of self-denial for his sake, every trial well endured, every victory gained over temptation, is a step in the march to the glory of final victory. Narrow roads are narrow because they're clear boundaries. You see these lines that tell you this is the road you must walk upon. There's no mistake, there's no confusion. It's very clear. This is the way. Walk in it. and you will live. The way of the world is very broad, and you don't see any lines. You don't see any type of boundaries. You can do as you please. And they tell you it's all right, as long as nobody gets hurt. And most of the time, everybody gets hurt. Sister White, in Thoughts of the Mount of Blessing, page 141, tells us, Christ himself has trodden the rough way before us and has smoothed the path for our feet. If we take Christ for our guide, he will lead us safely. Amen? We don't have to walk alone. Christ has promised to walk with us each step of the way. Now, if there's a guide you and I want, that's Jesus. It makes all the difference in the world. As you heard, I went to Diné, and this is in the Navajo Nation in Page, Arizona, and other parts of the state of Arizona and Utah, I believe. It's also part of that. I had never been there. And as I traveled to this place, I noticed something. I noticed that going to Vegas, the road was wide. Lots of cars. Big, wide road going to Vegas. And lots of cars. I also noticed that leaving Vegas, the road got narrow. I'll share with you. That's how narrow it got as we left Vegas. In some parts, it was lonely. Not too many cars to be seen for miles. And right before we got to the location, sorry about that. It got bumpy too. And for those who have been there, you just notice how bumpy the road is to get to the place where they have this mission, this center. The road is not easy, but it's worth the trip, brothers and sisters. When you see people hearing about Jesus, when you see people coming to Vacation Bible School to hear maybe for the first time what Jesus has done for them, it's an incredible experience. And what Peter is sharing or shared with you this afternoon, and what I'm sharing, I know that our youth will be sharing our experiences of how God can use those who are willing to travel on the straight and narrow way. God can use each one of us, no matter our background, no matter our age. All of us are invited to travel on the straight and narrow way. Is it easy? It's not. But let me tell you something. The broad way is worse. Because even though at first it might bring a little bit of pleasure, even if at first might be attractive because so many people are trying it, there are many disappointments, many hardships, many difficulties that one would not experience if we were all walking on the straight and narrow way. Just being out there in nature, the desert is beautiful. It's peaceful. You don't hear anything for miles. And knowing that, for example, for those of us who live here, I live in Carlsbad, lots of lights. I don't get to see too many stars out there. And I don't know where you live if you get to see many stars. My first night, sleeping outside with 25 other people, and looking up and going, wow, how beautiful. God, you keep your promises. You promised a man who could not have children. He was in his 90s, that he would have a son. And through his seed, the entire world would be blessed. And look at us today. All those who profess to follow Jesus and to live for him. You keep your promises. You keep your promises. The Christian life is a battle, isn't it, brothers and sisters? And a march. But the victory to be gained is not won by human power. The field of conflict is the domain of the heart. The battle which we have to fight, the greatest battle that was ever fought by man, is the surrender of what? Of self to the will of God. The yielding of the heart to the sovereignty of love. You see, God will never force us to walk on the straight and narrow way. He will invite us. He will tell us this is the way that leads to life. But he will never force any one of us to walk on it. It is our choice to surrender self, to cooperate with heaven as we go on this path. She also shares on page 144, the only hope for us is if we would overcome is to unite our will to God's will and work in cooperation with him. Hour by hour and day by day, are willing to pay the price required? Are we willing to pay the price required of us? Are we willing to have our will brought into perfect conformity to the will of God until we are willing? The transforming grace of God cannot be manifest upon us. How do you learn the best? When things are going well or when things are hard? For most of us, at least for me, my mom would wish I would learn the good way, but she had to sometimes let me know, hey, Sam, if you don't learn by the experiences I am telling you, you will learn by making mistakes and going through hard times. But the end goal is to be like whom, brothers and sisters? Like Jesus. That there is a transformation of character. And there are people today, many Christians even, that say that the narrow and straight way, impossible. Who can walk on that way? It's too difficult. And they invite us even to walk upon this broad way. In fact, Jesus warned his disciples. If you go with me to Matthew chapter 7, right after the verses that were read by Zoe, chapter 7, verses 14 and 15, you'll find verse 15, 13 and 14, and you'll find verse 15 there. And I want to start with that verse. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by what, brothers and sisters? By their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the rotten tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a rotten tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Verse 20, so then, you will know them by what? By their fruits. Do people know us by our fruits? What fruits are we talking about here? The fruits of the Spirit. First one, love. The second one, joy. The third one, peace, patience. I saw a lot of those fruits at our mission trip. 52 people under one roof. Amen? Lots of patience. Taking showers. There were only two showers for 52 people. Everybody got 3 minutes. Very little water. Electricity. You had solar panels up there. Had to be charged every day. But when you see people with the fruits of the Spirit, you go, God, it is possible. Praise your name. Praise your name that we can come together, we can work together because of what you have done in each one of our hearts. The road may be rough and the ascent steep. There may be pitfalls upon the right hand and upon the left. We may have to endure toil in our journey. When weary, when longing for rest, we may have to toil on. When faint, we may have to fight. When discouraged, we must still hope. But with Christ as our guide, we shall what? Not fail of reaching the desired haven at last. Do not listen to the teachers who say it's impossible. The straight and narrow way doesn't exist. It's bad if you think it's bad. If your culture permits it, it's okay. If nobody gets hurt, it's all right. If everybody's doing it, why shouldn't we also be doing it? But Jesus, knowing that all these ideas that started in the Garden of Eden by Satan lying to Adam and Eve, knowing that those ideas would persist until our days, invited his disciples to walk on the straight and narrow way and to beware of those false teachers. Teachers of falsehood will arise to draw you away from the narrow path and the straight gate. Beware of them. Though concealed in sheep's clothing, inwardly they are ravening wolves. Jesus gives a test by which false teachers may be distinguished from the true. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Position is important. Outer appearance is important, but it can be deceiving. What are we looking for? A transformed heart. A heart full of the Spirit of God. What message do these teachers bring? Does it lead you to reverence and fear of God? Does it lead you to manifest your love for Him by loyalty to His commandments? If men do not feel the weight of the moral law, if they make light of God's precepts, if they break one of the least of his commandments and teach men so, they shall be of no esteem in the sight of heaven. To the law and to the testimony, if they don't speak according to this, there is what? There is no light. A mere profession of discipleship is of no value. Obedience is the test of discipleship. Do we have opportunities to put these words that God has given to us to the test? We have ample opportunity. Every day we are tested to love God. Every day we are tested to love our neighbor. And we find today that many profess to be Christians, but when it comes to obeying what Jesus has said, it becomes what? A non-issue. It becomes unimportant, non-important. When the doctrines we accept, and this is the test, I believe, for us, when the doctrines we accept kills sin in the heart, purifies the soul from defilement, bears fruit unto holiness, we may know that it is the truth of God. Amen? And this last quote, when benevolence, kindness, tenderheartedness, sympathy are manifest in our lives, when the joy of right doing is in our hearts, when we exalt Christ and not self, we may know that our faith is of the right order. Jesus said to his disciples, Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. There are two ways, brothers and sisters. A narrow path that leads to life, and a broad path that leads to death. Which one will you choose? Let's choose the narrow one. Let's choose the narrow one every day. Let's choose the narrow one. My friend Joachim, who passed away about 2 years now, time goes by fast, at age 41, from a stomach cancer that spread all over his body. I had the opportunity of visiting him several years before he had cancer. And when I went, he told me, Samuel, I want you to experience something we Swiss people experience all the time. He said, I want to take you on a hike. It's going to be a 3-day hike through the Alps. I have a map. I want you to pack your bag, put a sleeping bag, we'll put some food, and we're going to start early in the morning and just start walking up to this location that I know we can find some rest. Well, as we started that first day, 9-10 hours went by, and we were nowhere close to that place. I was like, whoa, what's going on here? I remember that first night we slept under a tree. And there was a farm right next to it. And I was hoping the farmer would not come out and go, what are you guys doing here under my tree, sleeping? But he said, don't worry, we'll get there. Kept walking the next day. And as we got closer to that mountain and started going up several, I wouldn't say 100 feet, if not thousands of feet, the road got narrower and narrower. And he kept going straight. And I was thinking, we got to grab onto a chain now. Where are you taking me? Going up the steep mountain. Nobody was there. I thought if we get lost or something happens to us, it's going to take days to find us. But we finally reached the summit. And how beautiful. It was cold. There was snow up there. You saw some mountain goats. But there was also a little cabin there, waiting for all those who were traveling through those mountains. And the reason I reached that little cabin was because I had a guide who had been there before. He was able to take me. And when we arrived there around 6, 7 p.m. into that cabin, I was so happy to take off those shoes. I was happy to take off that backpack. I had already markings on my shoulders after 2 days. You can tell I don't do much hiking. I was happy to take a good night's rest in a warm place where it wasn't raining or drizzling. And I had reached that place because I had a friend who knew the way. He had been there before. He had a map also to guide him as we reach this place. Don't we have a friend who's walked this straight and narrow path? His name is Jesus. And he wants to guide us to his heavenly home. Much better than a cabin up 3,000 meters in the Swiss Alps. Much more beautiful than anything we have seen on planet Earth. Much more exciting than anything we could experience here on planet Earth are the things that God has gone to prepare for each one of us. And the only thing he wants us to do is to trust him and to take that narrow path, to study his word, to take time to pray, to say, God, what is it that you want to change in my heart? What is it that I need to do differently in order to keep walking, in order to keep representing who you are? Is that something we want to do, brothers and sisters? That's something I want to do. It's a lot more thrilling than the Swiss Alps, are the things that God has gone to prepare for each one of us. And if we will choose him as our guide, he will lead us there, he promised. And we will get to experience life like we have never experienced it before. Amen.